Welcome to the Eddie Hyde Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, and I'm so excited to be continuing in this series on the Epistle to the Hebrews. We are in chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading today at verse 10. We'll probably go all the way to the end of the chapter, and we'll just see what flows out of this. And so we just ask the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our understanding, illumine our minds and our hearts to understand the wonders of your word. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name. And so in verse 10, the writer says, "For it was fitting for him," now it's talking about Jesus, "for whom are all things," for whom? All things were created for Jesus Christ. In other words, he is the goal. He was the goal and he is the goal of creation. So the writer is emphasizing the importance of never turning away from Jesus. He's the goal of the entire creation. "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things." And some translations say through him. In other words, he was the agent of all creation. God created all things through Jesus Christ. And he was not only the agent of creation, he was the goal and the reason for creation. Boy, that just boggles our minds. The greatness, the surpassing greatness and majesty of our Lord and Savior. "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." So here Jesus is called the captain of our salvation. In other words, he's the leader. He's the one that has led the way and has brought about our salvation. It was fitting to make him perfect through sufferings. So Jesus had to go through some things as a human being, because see, Jesus is God incarnate, God in human flesh, in human form. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, the writer of Hebrews will say in a later passage, we'll get to in a later episode. And so verse 11, let's go into it. It says, "For both he who sanctifies," that's Jesus, he's the one who sanctifies us, who calls us and sets us apart. The word sanctify means to be set apart for a special and holy purpose. It doesn't necessarily speak of a absolute purity, although we are all growing in purity, we're growing in holiness. But the word hagios, it means to be called and set apart for a special purpose. "For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one." I'm going to keep reading, but this is amazing. "For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Jesus Christ always has the preeminence. He is the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega. But there is something amazing. We have been brought into a fellowship with him. In Romans, Paul called it, or expressed it like this. He said, "We are heirs of God and fellow heirs of Jesus Christ." Here he expresses it by saying both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, and that there is also a growth in sanctification and purity. Not only that calling, where at the beginning we're called and we're set apart for his purpose, but then we grow in our character. We grow in the likeness of Christ. We are in a process. You are in a process. You are being sanctified. As Paul said in Romans 8:29, "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." You know what God's ultimate goal and destiny for you and I is? that we be just like Jesus. Oh my goodness. To be conformed to the death, to the image of his Son. So both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. We're all hooked into the same tree. We're all being nourished by the same life. He is the head. Jesus is referred to as the head of the body. The same life that is in the head flows down into every part of the body. So we are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You know, and the Greek word there, adelphoi, it is gender inclusive. And some of the newer translations, I'm reading New King James, but some of the newer translations say brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed to call us his brothers and the female members of his body, to call them sisters. Wow. Saying, I will declare your name to my brethren, to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. So this is showing the close family ties between Jesus Christ and those whom he has redeemed and reconciled back to God, made us a part of this wonderful family. These verses are showing the closeness of now our family ties to our Lord and Almighty God. Do you remember one time in the Gospels, Jesus was teaching a crowd, and his mother, Mary, his brothers, we his half-brothers and sisters, they were trying to get to him. And somebody came and told him, said, your mother and your brothers and sisters are wanting to see you. And Jesus looked around. He said, who is my mother and who is my brothers and my sisters? And he looked around on the people sitting around him listening to his teaching. He said, whoever hears the word of God and does it, this one is my mother, my brother, and my sister. Wow. What an incredible thing God has done for us through Jesus. Look at verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he likewise shared in the same. In other words, this is talking about him taking on human form, human flesh. We call it God incarnate, God in human flesh. Not just looking like a human, but a real human being, God becoming a human being. And why did he do this? It says that through death, his death on the cross, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Wow. My friends, if you can overcome the fear of death, you can overcome every other fear. I'll close with a little story. People who have no fear of death can change the world. Let me tell you a story I heard R.W. Schambach tell about. He was preaching in Alabama, and I think this was back in probably the 1970s. When segregation was still very strong. It could have even been earlier in the 1960s. But segregation was still very much a part of the culture and the practice. But, you know, Schambach, his meetings were always interracial. In fact, the majority of his audiences were black folks, and they really loved him. And so anyway, he was telling about that he was having this large tent meeting, thousands of people there, both black and white. And based on what I know of his meetings, I'm sure that the majority of them were black. And he said he was in his hotel room, and he said the phone rang during the day. And he said he answered the phone and said the voice, and a very gruff, angry-like voice said, is this the preacher? And said he said, yeah, this is the preacher. And so the voice on the other end said, this is the Ku Klux Klan. And we don't like what you're doing in this city. And if you don't close this meeting down immediately, we're going to kill you. And Schambach said, he answered back, I got news for you. He said, what's that? The voice said, what's that? He said, you can't kill me. He said, why not? And Schembach said, I'm already dead. And he hung up the phone. What did he mean? Hey, he meant he had already died to self. He had already conquered the fear of death. He had died with Christ. Which reminds me of what Paul said in Acts chapter 20 to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. And he was on his way to Jerusalem, and there was all kinds of apparently predictions and the Holy Spirit warning that chains and troubles were awaiting him. But listen to what he said. He said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Paul said, I have no fear of death. I have died with Christ, and my life is lost in him. And apparently that's where Schembach was. So anyway, he said that night, he said there was like two rows of Ku Klux Klan members came under the tent. They were sitting at the back, and he said they had chains and clubs and weapons with them. But he said, man, as he preached, he sensed such a presence and anointing of the power of God. And he directed his words right at these Klansmen. And he said he gave an altar call, and he said they came running to the front, fell on their knees and crying out to God for mercy. Oh, my friends, when we overcome the fear of death, don't ever be intimidated by Satan's trying to make you afraid of death. Let me read that again, what he said. That he himself took upon our human flesh, so that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime in bondage. My friends, let's pray in closing right now. Somebody that's listening to this, you're going to be loosed from an ungodly fear of dying, of death. I'll never forget, I was with my older brother, just he and I, when the doctor came in and told him there was nothing else that they could do for him. The only thing they could do was try to make him comfortable with whatever time he had left. And I'll never forget, he pointed towards heaven, and he said to the doctor, I'm ready to meet my maker. Oh, hallelujah. My friends, when you know Jesus and you know what he has accomplished through his death and his glorious resurrection, he came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to destroy him who through fear of death hold people in bondage. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break that spirit of fear upon people, that spirit of the fear of death that causes people to hold back from doing what they ought to do, from witnessing, from speaking your word, from speaking to their neighbor, from standing up, for declaring your truth on their social network pages to their coworkers. In the name of Jesus, I destroy that spirit of fear, because it's already, the one who is the source of that has already been destroyed by his death and resurrection. And Lord, we cast out that spirit of fear this day, and thank you for filling my brothers and my sisters with your peace and with your boldness. Bold to speak, bold to declare, bold to act in the name of Jesus. As they prayed in the book of Acts, grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders will be done in the name of your holy servant Jesus. Thank you for doing it in our day and in our hour, Lord. Amen. This is Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. There's contact information there, a lot of resources that you can check out. And I look forward to seeing you on Monday.